Hello and welcome to episode 17 of It's Funny Now, Stories You're Glad Didn't Happen to You. My name is Frank Trainer. I'm the creator and producer of the show where people tell stories that maybe were embarrassing, cringy, terrifying, shameful, disgusting, even sad sometimes when they happened. But with the help of time, we can say it's funny now. Our show is recorded live at The Crow in Santa Monica, California. That's the new comedy club for elevated comedy in Los Angeles. It happens every second Tuesday of the month, and on this podcast, you will hear the best stories to come out of that stage. On today's episode, we have Carlos Kotkin with his story, My Second Prom.
The message was, "Hi, Carlos. This is Beth Mango. The reason I'm calling is I would like you to take me to my prom tomorrow night. Thank you." So I had a lot of issues with Beth Mango's message. The biggest issue I had was that I was 29 years old.
Carlos is a Moth Story Slam host and winner of several Story and Grand Slams. He's also a screenwriter and author, and it's important for him that we tell you that he is left-handed. And now, on It's Funny Now, without further ado, here's Carlos with his story, My Second Prom.
One late Friday night in June, I get home and I realize I have a voicemail message, and I check the message, and this is the message. I can hear it in my head right now. The message was, "Hi, Carlos. This is Beth Mango. The reason I'm calling is I would like you to take me to my prom tomorrow night. Thank you." So I had a lot of issues with Beth Mango's message. The biggest issue I had was that I was 29 years old. So Beth Mango was a friend of the family, barely, kind of. Her mom used to work with my mom. And so I would see her by chance maybe twice a year. And she was a really strange girl. She was 11 years younger than me. She looked like a young Tom Hanks. And I would see her once or twice a year, and I would ask her, "Hey, Beth, how are you doing?" And she'd look down, and she'd say she was fine, and then we would wait for the next year to do it all over again. So she's calling me the night before her prom, the night before. So she's clearly scraping the bottom of the barrel. I'm her last scrape. And as soon as I heard her voicemail, my heart sank. I just felt this pit in my stomach. I felt terrible because I knew I was going to have to go. I had no legitimate escape. I had no date. I was a bachelor at the time. I was looking for my soulmate. 100% I wasn't going to find her at a prom. But this wasn't about me. It was about Beth. And clearly, she needed help. So I called her the next morning, the day of her prom, and I spoke to her with as much enthusiasm and excitement and joy as I possibly could. I said, "Hey, Beth, I got your message, and I can't tell you how much I would love to take you to your prom. I really can't." And I told her, since it's such short notice, I'm not going to be able to rent a tuxedo in time. And she said, "Oh, don't worry about that. My dad has one in the closet. You can wear his." So that worked out. That was great. That was lucky, right? So I get in my car and I drive. It's about an hour away in Huntington Beach. And I decide, if I'm going to do this, let's do this like it's real. I stop at a florist, and I buy a corsage for her. And I remember the florist asking me, "What's the occasion?" And I said, "I'd rather not say." So I drive, I get to Beth's house, and her family, her parents are so happy and excited that somebody showed up to take her to her prom. It's just like they're doing backflips. But Beth isn't. She's the only one that's not. I don't think she had ever been excited about anything in her life. But she walks in this frumpy formal gown. It's like, oh, hey, Beth, here I am. And I put the thing on her wrist, and she just holds her hand out, and I'm putting it on. And it's like, it's totally like I'm checking her pulse. And she's alive. I can feel it. And so that's on. And then, okay, it's time to put on the dad's tuxedo. And the dad said, we're about the same build, so this shouldn't be a problem. Keyword, about. It was a little too big. It was like I'm wearing my dad's tuxedo. Not quite. It didn't fit correctly. Even so, if the year had been 1978, I would have looked fantastic. So I'm in this tux. She's in her formal gown. Next thing I know, I'm in a minivan driving to prom dinner with Beth and her parents. For my prom, when I went to prom the previous decade, I went to a restaurant called the Marine Room in San Diego. It was overlooking the bay. It was elegant and romantic. It was perfect. For a prom dinner with Beth and her parents, we went to Coco's. If you don't know Coco's, it's like Denny's, but not as fancy. And if you don't know Denny's, you're a communist, but that's fine. All are welcome here. All are welcome. I will never forget walking into Coco's in my baby blue ruffled tuxedo from 1978 with my prom date and her parents. I felt like I had lost a bet. That's what it felt like. And I also felt everybody, just like everybody's looking at me right now, that's what it was like at Coco's. And I was just like, just look straight ahead, don't look at anybody, just act natural, sit down and order your fish and chips, and this will be over. So for whatever reason, the service took forever. My fish and chips in particular, I think probably they were doing it on purpose to keep me there as long as possible. And I remember at one point our waitress whisked by, and Beth's mom angrily pounded on the table and yelled at the waitress loud enough for everybody to hear, can you hurry up and bring his fish and chips because they have a prom to go to? Yes. 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 I wanted to melt into the floor like the Wicked Witch of any direction. So alone in the car with Beth on our way to the prom, I missed being at Coco's. It was so painful. I am not the world's greatest conversationalist, but compared to Beth, I could host my own talk show. And we're mostly sitting in silence. At one point, Beth does say to me out of nowhere, I'm starting work at El Pollo Loco on Monday. Okay, Beth. Congratulations. You're going to be great. I ask her about her school and her friends, just out of courtesy, just trying. And she's telling me, yeah, we'll meet my friends when we get there. And we get there, I'm concerned that I'm gonna stick out like a sore thumb because I'm so much older than everybody there. It turns out that I look more like a high school student than all of the dudes there. All of the high school boys looked like they were 45 and they were this tall. So that was okay. We're walking into the ballroom of some hotel and this young woman, Beth's age, walks by and goes like this to Beth. And that's it. We go into the ballroom. We sit down at our own table, nobody else, and we continue our vow of silence. I'm at a prom now. I'm just at a prom, observing. I'm a passive observer at a prom. And I finally say to Beth, do you want to find some of your friends? Do you want to hang out with them? And she said, oh, we found my friends. We did? Where did we find them? And she said, remember that girl that went like that? That's what I said. Oh my God. And in that moment, I realized that this was a big deal for Beth. I realized, because I'm kind of slow, it took me this long to realize that a lot of the people around us were probably making fun of us. And for Beth, this was like a big, this was like showing the people at her school that she belonged there and that she could find a day. It was a whole big thing. All of a sudden, it dawned on me. And it was like out of a movie, because at the moment that it dawned on me, AC/DC's You Shook Me All Night Long started blasting. And I knew what to do. I knew what to do. I stood up. I offered my hand. I took her by the hand. I led her onto the dance floor. And we shook it. We shook it. We danced. We just went crazy. I am not a dancer at all. I danced like Frankenstein. Beth danced like Bride of Frankenstein. We did not care. I stopped caring. It was kind of liberating. I mean, it was so ridiculous and embarrassing and all those things that it didn't matter. And we just danced like nobody was watching, even though everybody was watching. And it didn't matter. And I had fun. I actually had fun. And Beth had fun, too, because she smiled at me. So I could tell that she was enjoying herself. And after dancing to I don't know how many songs, I'm sweating buckets. All of a sudden, Beth says, okay, time to go get our prom pictures taken. It's like, what? All right. Okay, I look like I just ran a marathon. All right, let's go. And we go off the dance floor. I'm grabbing napkins off the tables to towel off. And I pose. I hold her by the waist so gently. And I grimace for the camera. We take our prom pictures. And it's done. Eventually, the night comes to an end. I drive her home. And I change into my civilian clothes. And she thanks me genuinely. And I give her a completely asexual kiss on the cheek for half a second. And then I drive back to my world, where I belong. I told no one about my good deed. It was done. And now whenever anybody asked Beth if she went to her prom, she would be able to say yes. And I figured I wasn't going to see Beth for at least another year. So I see her a few weeks later. I see her at this work event that you can bring your family, and I go with my mom and her mom, and it's a summer picnic thing. And she was kind enough to bring me our prom pictures. And I said, oh, thanks, Beth. And I just gave them to my mom right away. Get these out of here, which was a mistake because my mom opened it up, takes them all out, so excited. Any picture of me in a tuxedo, she's thrilled. And she's looking at all these pictures, and somebody comes up, a coworker of her that I know that I'm friendly with, a guy named Darren. He's like, hey, what are you looking at? And my mom is so excited. These are Carlos's prom pictures. All right, Darren, he looks at me, looks closer, takes a closer look at the pictures, and he goes, these look recent. That's it. Thank you.
That's it. That's our episode. As you can see, Carlos is just so, so funny. He's very, very hilarious and such a nice human being, which is why Carlos is going to be hosting our first show of 2024 at The Crow, which is going to happen on Tuesday, January 9th at 8 p.m. with a fantastic lineup and Carlos Kotkin hosting. And as always, you can find a video of this story on our YouTube channel, and you can find information about future shows and how to pitch your own story to maybe be on our show on our website, itsfunnynowstorytelling.com, and you can find a new episode every Monday on all podcast streaming platforms and, of course, YouTube. On the next episode, we have Jen Curcio with her story, Emergency Evacuation.
I was like, I'm about to shit myself, but I'd never shit at work before. And I was like, oh no, today is the day this is gonna have to happen. But I was like, no, wait, everyone's gonna hear this horrible thing coming down out of my ass.
Thanks for listening. And remember, tragedy plus time. It's funny now. See you next time.